We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, man, how much longer are we going to sit here?
I said, are you waiting? He said, give me a minute.
I was kidding.
Oh.
I've been here for fucking 2 hours.
Oh,
I was like, I'm not fucking ready?
I'm ready.
What else could I be fucking doing?
Well, good morning.
Good
Jesus
morning.
Christ.
Good
what
morning.
A disaster. You
good
quitting
morning.
Smoking affects all of us.
That is not true.
That is true.
I got here at 9:30.
I understand. And then I got here, and Snowcone took the computer with him, so I had to go
Why
through the
same...
Why
did he do that?
I don't know, so I had to go through the same routine again to remember...
Why did you take the computer with him?
Because he uses it to edit audio or video or something. I don't know.
On the weekend at the Great Wolf Lodge?
I don't know. I don't know.
Fuck that guy. I'm here.
That's how I'm feeling right now. Trust me. So then I have to find a computer, remember which one I can get to sort of work for Twitch. And it's only powerful enough to run one camera. So I have to move the camera around. And then I have to get
the
audio to work.
That guy's the bane of my fucking existence, to be honest with you.
Well, look, you know, neither of us are in a great mood right now.
But now you're going to start defending him.
No, I'm saying.
You always do.
No, I'm not defending him.
You're a snowcone apologist.
No, no. Listen, if you would have let me finish, I was going to say.
Okay.
Well, look. There's a lot of things I might be able to excuse, but walking in here this morning and seeing there's no fucking computer was pretty irritating.
Yeah.
Pretty irritating. And then I'm like, yo, so now I got to use this old computer.
Did
oh,
you talk
shit.
To him?
Yeah, I texted him. He was like, oh, shit, I forgot about Toxic and Problematic.
You
and
forgot
like,
about
forgot
it?
Forgot
it's
about
a fucking
it.
Job.
I should have brought that up there. No shit, you should have brought it up there. So now I'm using one of my old computers, and thank God that Direct Computer Outlet in Mission gave us a computer so that now we have a backup computer that we can use. So that we can
Is
stream.
That his computer?
What?
The computer he takes.
Well, yeah, technically. This
what
one
mean,
here.
Technically.
So this one here is the work computer, the one I was trying to get to work earlier, and I can't. The other one he got from Direct Computer Outlet. The guy gave it to him, and so that's what
he
he's been using
it to
for
us.
Twitch. Well, true. He gave it to us, yes.
So it's, our
so
fucking
it's, not,
computer.
It's not owned by work. It's owned by us, yes.
Well, have him
exactly.
leave it for us to use.
Yeah, trust me. I would like to. If I had a time machine, it'd be one of the things I would
I
be reminding
all the
him.
Fucking Kratom.
Yeah, the Kratom is always missing. The computer is missing. And then I'm like, look, dude, there's no fucking audio. And I'm trying to be calm, but also I'm being quite short in my text. Meanwhile, I'm sitting here, and it is quiet as a church mouse in this room. Usually when Lazo and I get together, every day for 20 years, we see each other every weekday, at least every weekday. And every day it's, hey, how's it going? What's up?
Right.
Good to see you. And we chat for a while, right? This morning, I was sitting here this morning, doing some things. Lazo walks in. We say hey, and it's a muffled hey, hey.
No, I just walked in. I'm tired.
Right, and it's we're both tired.
Right.
And then I realize after that the computer's not here. So after all that fucking around with electronics, which is the same thing that I've done the last four times we've tried to do this, and I've had to do it by myself. There's been nothing said, and that's when I remembered. Oh shit, Lazo's trying to quit smoking because I hadn't seen him smoke all morning, and I was like, oh shit. He's trying to quit smoking. He's probably irritated over there while I'm irritated over here. So now I don't know what the best strategy is. I mean, he's the one who's trying to quit smoking, not me. So maybe I should act less irritated, or do we act irritated together? Take our anger out on Snowcone, the person who's not here? I don't know what the best strategy is.
Well, it should be taken out on him.
But I did get you a nicotine patch.
Yeah, thank you. And I got gum. And
I'm
fine. And to be honest with you, I wasn't in a bad mood.
No, I know. I wasn't either when I got here. I was like, good.
Oh, shit.
What?
Okay, hold on.
Is this bad?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
God damn it.
I took too long?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm fucking doing it. All right, I gotta go, man.
You've gotta go?
Yeah, my kid was at baseball practice at 9 a.m. I said, I'll be here at 9:30.
Oh, yeah,
baseball
started
practice.
At
right.
9. Yeah.
It's 10:46. You just texted me and said, you gotta come get me. I don't have a ride home.
Oh, shit. So what do you want to... So, I mean, I don't know what to do. Do we blame this one on Snow Cone? Do we... I really don't know. I mean, look, we've got a solid 4 minutes right now of Toxic and Problematic. Solid 4 minutes.
I really wanted to talk to you, too.
I know. I did, too. I wanted to do this. I shouldn't... I don't... I feel like I like having Twitch so that, you know, we can... So people can interact and we can talk to people. But I guess I could have launched all of this without Twitch, and we could have just started on time.
Yeah, I thought about that.
Well,
but you
trust
know what?
Me, I did too. But then I thought, I no one was communicating in here. We weren't talking, so I thought, well, he probably wants this this text line to work.
No,
no, you were ready to just go. You should have just said something. Well, Twitch, what do you think? Call it a disaster, and that's that. I like this. That's a wrap, boys. Sunday show. Hey, I'll take it. Someone says they'll take it.
What a fucking nightmare.
What a nightmare, says Laszlo. Second best Saturday morning podcast around.
I'm fucking sat here for an hour and a half, two hours, and watched fucking
I've
fishing
been here
with
2 hours. I know. It was not ideal. All of that so that I could get the text line rolling, which I did get working. I did get the audio and video basically working, but now you have to go pick up your kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. You know what we could do?
You do it by yourself.
Well, no, you know what we could do? Since we've already got, I mean, this is now we're at 5.5 minutes of solid, new, unheard
content?
Audio content. We could put in, there's a couple things that I thought would be cool to put in for the show, old interviews that we did that I was like, man, they won't let us play them because something, I don't understand, technical about what's wrong with them. And so they're long and we're... And there's that Damien Echols interview.
Oh!
And I've thought for a while, like, man, we should post
that. And you've been
that.
Watching the West Memphis 3.
Yeah, yeah. Paradise Lost 1, 2, and 3 on HBO. Because Brooke had never seen him before. And, I was trying to explain
to her. Did you find the Damien Echols interview?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, good. We'll do that.
You want to run that? So we can run the Damien Echols interview.
And put a picture of Damien Echols on the Twitch.
Okay, just put a picture of him.
Picture of him so people know the fuck he
I'll
is.
Just leave it. I'll just leave the stream running. Right?
Got an interview from like 2010, too. Did you?
It was when he wrote the
before?
Book. Yeah, it was like 2015 or something.
I mean, God only knows what I fucking said.
You know, yeah, well, there is that. But, you know, I didn't think about that. Well, that's okay, because it's on the Toxic and Problematic podcast, right? It's under that banner. And next week, we thought it was this weekend, but next weekend is when we're interviewing... From anyways, right?
Yes.
So that could be, you know, look, this was a disaster. I can't believe I said I shouldn't have tried to fuck with Twitch for so long. The computer should have been here also when I got
here. I know you got your elbows, but I'll tell you who's got their arms crossed right now is my kid.
Waiting for a ride.
Yeah, he's like, what the fuck?
Shit. Well, did he think he might be able to get a ride and then he didn't? Was that the problem? Or you just
said text me if there's nobody there to give you one, because not everybody was there. So he texted me, he's like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, when you looked at your phone and said, oh shit.
You knew what I was doing? Because
I
told you I was tapping him off at practice.
But your reaction was a little bit, because I said, is there a problem? You go, yeah. The way you said yeah, I was like, oh, well, this might be worse than his kid needing a ride. Because I'd be bad. I mean, it means that we can't do this.
Right.
But also, what, like, is our boss texting or something? Did I really fuck something up on the computer? You know what I mean? I was like, am I live streaming over the, what did I do in here? What did I plug in wrong? So, but you know what? We did put in the time, technically. I mean, you and I put in the time. It's just the product that we produced was about, you know.
Well, it's clearly Snow Cone's fault anyway.
Right. Why is the computer gone?
He's a fucking producer.
Why is the computer gone? Well, that computer is set up. Everything is set up to run around that computer.
Right.
Now we're using my old
laptop. And he just fucking takes it.
Right.
And he's pissed me off all week. Don't even get me started.
Okay.
You know that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, look. I'm irritated, to say the least.
I didn't get a GED to go through this shit.
We both started. We both got here on time. We actually got here earlier than we originally said, which normally is a problem.
I was wasting time to get here at 9:30. I stopped and looked at cars.
Oh, really?
I'll tell you what, too, car dealerships. I always buy cars online. So my fault. When did you stop putting the fucking prices on them in the parking lot?
Dude, it's horrible.
Not one fucking price on any car. And then it says scan with the QR code for price and information, and it doesn't have a fucking price
there's
there
no
either.
Price. That's new. I haven't seen the scam.
Fuck you. I'm not buying a car from you.
Exactly. That's how I feel. I went into a dealership, I won't say where, but close to here one time.
Yeah, me too.
And they had a bunch of cars, and I was there with my brother, and this guy walks out, hey, can I help you? And I said, yeah, you know, how much is this car? He's like, well, I don't know. See, the bank came in here today and took everything over. And we have to talk to them. And I was like, can you give me a price? He's like, no, you have to go talk to someone from the bank because they took over. I was like, get the fuck out of here.
Right.
I don't understand. Look, I mean, look, you guys know what you're doing. So you got to know what works and what doesn't. But how many customers do you lose who, as soon as they hear that shit, go, I'm out of here.
Right.
Just tell me what it costs.
Three dealerships. Because I was like, this is how much money I have to spend.
Yeah.
I don't know how much these cars fucking cost.
Right. There's no price.
Because, you know, usually I finance a car.
Right.
So, you know, this, I'm trying to pay cash to buy one for Euro. I'm like, how much they fucking cost?
Right.
How much does a fucking car cost?
And they won't tell you.
You have 100 of them here. Just tell me how much one cost. Maybe I can eyeball the rest of them.
Right. No, they're like, right? how much are you willing to pay?
Right.
That seems to be the thing. Like, well, you know, have you looked at their cars? They got to figure out where you're at. It's like, dude, just give me, let me see that sheet that you've got, you know, that says what you're trying to get and what the lowest is. Even if we're, let's just tell me the highest price.
That's right. There. Put it on there.
That's how, that's fine. Put the sticker on there.
All right. I got to go.
All right. Well.
All right. Hey, I love you, Twitch. I thank you. And then we're going to play this interview for
Damien. You know what? We just hit 10 minutes.
Not bad.
I think that's not bad for a Saturday. Bad. All right. Thanks, Twitch. All right, guys. Sorry about that. Not exactly what we had planned, but I have been wanting to play this Damien Echols interview for a while. We interviewed him shortly after he got out of prison. If you're not familiar with Damien Echols, he is one of the West Memphis 3. Look them up if you're not familiar with that. There were documentaries called Paradise Lost. I think they made three of them. I actually just rewatched them recently on HBO. They're great. The first one's, I think, from like 1996, and they continued to make them throughout the years. It's kind of what got me interested in our justice system and people being wrongfully convicted and the Innocence Project and what can we do to help. So this was our first time talking to Damien Echols, and I think he had just gotten out of prison. We actually got to meet him just a few days later, a couple weeks later. He stopped by for a book signing, and we got to say hi to him. But this is our interview with Damien Echols, and this will be this week's episode of Toxic and Problematic.
Damien Echols, how are you?
Very good. Thanks for having me.
It's great to talk to you. Look, I'm one of those guys, like everybody, I almost feel like I owe you an apology. And I'll start with this. I don't know when it was, you know, 10 years ago, whatever. The first time we all stumble across the story of the West Memphis 3, right?
Yeah.
And we start looking on the internet and we start reading stories and we dig further and further and further. And we're up all night and we're drinking coffee and we're looking at it and we're saying, my God, what are these guys doing in jail? And we look at it for 3 weeks and then, or 3 days or... And then life takes over and we don't do enough. And I feel like there's a lot of us who know your story who could have done more. The good news is that there's people who are braver, stronger, who put more effort into their life than I did, who read about you and did stuff to help you. So to start off, I'd like to say I'm sorry.
Well, thank you. It does mean a lot hearing that, but I also think that, you know, just the fact that you feel that way and other people felt that way, you know, just the thoughts and the feeling alone is, you know, it helped me knowing that people felt that way out there. That's a lot of what helped get me through.
Right. All right. So let's, you know, I don't know how much you want to talk about it. I don't know how far we can get into it. I mean, there's been, what, three documentaries now and more to come and books. And
yep.
But here's the kind of a, if maybe you can give me a brief synopsis of what happened, and then I'd kind of like to ask you some questions.
Well, I think the briefest synopsis would just be to say that in 1993, me and two other guys, all of us teenagers at the time, were charged with committing three counts of capital murder. The police said it was an act of satanic sacrifice. We spent 18 years on death row, or I spent 18 years on death row. The other two guys were sentenced to life without parole before finally DNA testing started to come in and eyewitnesses came forth who excluded me and the other two men from the crime scene and instead point towards someone else. So I've been out of prison about a year and a month now.
And how different is it?
Oh, it's, you know, for whenever I first got out, the first 2 or 3 months, okay, I was in for 18 years, but I was in solitary confinement for almost the last 10 years. getting out, I went from almost a decade of solitary confinement to just having, you know, being tossed back out into the world. And it was a completely overwhelming experience. You know, everybody just thinks you'll be just really happy and jubilant that you're out, and you are. But at the same time, you know, I was in, like, for the first 3 months that I was out, I would say I was in a really deep state of shock and trauma.
Right.
Just from, you know, re-entering into the world again. It was really, really hard those first few months.
I can't imagine.
As time's gone by, I've started to adjust a little bit, but, you know, there's still a lot to get through.
Damien, do you think you'd be a free man today if those documentaries had not been made?
Oh, no. No, I don't. You know, the first documentary came out in 1996, and that's when it gradually spread over time. You know, as the years would pass, it was almost like a snowball that just kept growing and growing. But it really did start in 1996 with those documentaries. There's so many links in the chain that eventually led to us getting out of prison, though, and it's like if one single link in that chain was gone, then I would be dead right now. And the first link would be that very first documentary.
Were you, now I want to ask you, obviously, I think this would go without saying that you were angry, but you never show your anger.
You seem very composed on camera, even though I'm thinking to myself, I'm in prison, I'm in solitary confinement 23 hours a day. I'm angry, I'm mad, I'm pissed, and you seem composed.
Well, I think in the very beginning, like when you see trial footage, probably the reason it seemed that way back then was because I was in such a deep state of shock. You know, I was only barely more than a kid myself, 18 years old, and I had just had my entire world, my entire life, completely destroyed. So I was in such a deep state of shock at that point that I was just, you know, putting one foot in front of the other.
I don't want to interrupt you here, but when I see those, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, we're talking to Damien Echols of West Memphis 3. When I see those original things like you're talking about right now, when you're 18 years old, and people say, look how flippant he is. I see, like, you know, some of the news commentaries, the local news. I always got the feeling that you thought, and believe me, I know nothing about you except for what I've seen on TV and documentaries, but I thought, he doesn't seem flippant. He seems like he's not exactly sure why he's here, and he hasn't done anything wrong, and there's absolutely no way he's going to get convicted of this.
Exactly. You know, I was raised, like most people in this country, to think, you know, the system is based on innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
And if you haven't done anything wrong, then it's impossible for them to prove you've done anything wrong. And that's really what I walked into that courtroom believing.
Right.
Did you ever think to yourself, because you seem, they never broke you from what we can tell and from what we see of you now. Did you ever think to yourself, man, I wish I hadn't worn the black t-shirts. If only I had just been the model kid. And did you ever go down that road and think if only I'd been different?
No, really not. Just because I know if you start giving up the things you love, the things that make your life enjoyable and the things that bring magic into your world, if you start giving those things up every time somebody puts pressure on you, then before you know it, you know, you're the living dead anyway. It's like living just a slow, drawn-out death sentence. I mean, if you don't have the things you love and the things that mean something to you, then you may not even be, you must, you know, there's no point in really being alive anyway.
Now, I know that you guys had to sign something. According to this last documentary, you essentially signed something saying you were guilty to get out of jail.
Is that an Alford plea or something?
It's a very weird thing in the U.S. justice system. Most people never even heard of it. It was called an Alford plea. And what it means is you're accepting this deal with the prosecutor, but at the same time, you're still maintaining your innocence. And the reason for it, in the end, what it all comes down to is that you can't sue the state.
Absolutely. They're afraid that you're going to sue them for millions and millions of dollars for false imprisonment or whatever the case may be. And
yeah.
And so you're able to maintain your innocence while simultaneously signing paperwork that says you're guilty? Is that it? Or
exactly. That's okay. What it comes down to. It makes no sense at all, but that's exactly what it is.
Now, they offered you that because they knew that eventually you would win the case and they would sue you? And that you would sue them, obviously.
Exactly. We have a documentary coming out in December called West of Memphis, where the prosecutor actually did interviews. And he said that one of his main considerations in doing this deal was the fact that me and the other two guys collectively could have sued the state for $60 million. So, you know, whenever we had DNA coming back that excluded us from the crime scene and matched two other men. We had three eyewitnesses come forward who put this guy with the victims within an hour of the time they were murdered and a whole bunch of other stuff. So the prosecutor says, you know, okay, yeah, if we go to court, you're going to win this. But they can easily drag it out for another 5 years, another 10 years. You know, they can appeal every decision. They can ask for extensions. Or we can sign this agreement and go home before the week is up.
And we even watched you in an interview saying that you even thought they could just call someone in and have you killed if they wanted to.
Oh, exactly. You know, he's saying, you know, we could have sued him for $60 million. And I know at the same time, I can be stabbed to death in prison for a pack of cigarettes any day of the week. Not only that, but my health was just getting really, really bad. You know, if you've seen footage of me lately and see what I look like, I actually weighed 60 pounds less than that whenever I got out of prison. You know, I was emaciated just due to bad nutrition, deteriorating health conditions. I was going blind. I knew one way or another whether I died from that or died from violence. There was no way, if I didn't take a deal, there was no way I was ever going to live to see the outside of those walls again.
The other two guys who went to jail with you, Jesse and Charles, is that right?
Jason and Jesse.
Jason and Jesse. All right, is his first name Charles?
Yes, Charles Jason Baldwin.
Right, good. All right, so now I remember watching that, and he said that he didn't want to take the Alford plea, that he wanted to go ahead and fight this for 10 years because it was important for him to prove he was willing to stay another 10 years in jail. Now, I'm a kind of a guy who I hide my emotions. I don't cry very often, man. I don't get sad very often. I don't know what happened to me as a child that makes me like that. But when he said, I would have fought this for 10 more years, but they wanted to kill Damien, they wanted to put him on death row, so I'll sign it to save Damien. I thought I got chills. That's a pretty powerful statement from a friend of yours.
It is, and I think it's also like the strongest statement of his innocence you could ask for. You know, right, that somebody's willing to do that, to go to that limit, that they refuse to make any sort of, you know, they're just not going to bow down to the state in any way until they completely acknowledge his innocence. I mean, I don't think it's possible to make a stronger statement of innocence than that.
Did you want to fight it more as you, and this is just, I'm trying to inject a little bit of my personality into it, but did you want to fight it more the longer you got in? Because I feel like if they would have offered the Alford plea the first weekend, you'd have signed it, yeah, in a heartbeat. But after 15 years, you're like, well, hold on a second. Now you've made me mad. Does that make sense?
I think it was, for me, it was exactly the opposite. You know, if they would have came to me in the very first week, I would have probably told them where they could have put it.
Right.
But as time went on, I was getting really sick. I was getting weak. I was getting worn down. The prison brutality from the administration was just getting worse and worse. You know, it was just, everything was going downhill really fast.
All right, now, they didn't like you, and they thought you were a suspect, and they thought it was satanic because, I don't know, what band did you like? Black Sabbath or someone? Something ridiculous now?
Then, they even were using Metallica t-shirts as evidence that we were Satanists.
Metallica.
And I say that's only, yep, evidence that you have a very poor taste in music, Damien.
All right, now, Damien, I got to know, and do you think you know who did it?
We're pretty sure. I mean, we have a lot of evidence pointing to one individual who is a family member of one of the victims. He had DNA at the crime scene. Inside one of the ligatures used to bind one of the victims was a piece of his hair. So it had to have gotten there while the knot was being tied.
And this is the same guy that we saw in the last documentary. He was the stepfather, correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And also the man who was providing him with an alibi, his DNA was found at the crime scene on a tree stump next to the bodies. And they also now have three. He's always maintained that he never even saw the victims at all that day. And three eyewitnesses have come forward saying, that's not true. We saw him with all three of them within an hour of the time they come up dead.
So why aren't the police arresting them like they did you? Is it because they don't want to? Is it another way that if they arrest them, they've admitted their mistake with you?
Exactly. And if they were to arrest him, then the deal that they forced us to take would be off the table and we could file a lawsuit against them.
Right. I thought that
the number one Yeah. The number one priority to them is making sure they don't get sued. Everything else is secondary.
Is there anybody out there, if we exclude the prosecutors, obviously, is there anybody out there who still thinks you guys did it? Do you get letters from people who think you did it? Are there still people who believe you're guilty?
No. You know, maybe some crazy guy in his mom's basement somewhere on the internet. But for the most part, you know, whenever we deal with people on a daily basis, every single interaction we've always had with people has been 100% positive. You know, people come up to us on the street all the time and say, you know, I followed this case for years. I'm really glad you're out. Congratulations. So far, it's been 100% positive.
How about the crazy guy in the documentary who in the first documentary, you know, was so adamant that you guys were guilty and called you guys devil worshippers, and by the time we get around to current day, he's changed his tune, and now he's out helping you guys. I don't remember his name. Do you talk to him?
John Mark Myers. We've actually had dinner together a few times.
And he still supports you, and I mean, after all that stuff that he said, after, you know, everything that he said in that first documentary, are you able to forgive him now?
Well, yeah, just because, you know, I accused him of murder. I thought at the time there was so much that seemed to be pointing in his direction that I honestly thought it was him.
Okay.
It was only after the DNA testing came back that I, you know, said I was wrong. But we've met with him a few times, and also another one of the victims' families, the Hobbs.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We've met with them several times and had dinner and stuff like that. So they are also completely supportive, 100%. Two out of three of the victims' families are doing everything they can right now to help us have this overturned and have the case reopened.
Right.
All right.
Just one last question. What do you want to do with your life now? You've had so much of it taken away from you. What are your goals for life now?
I think after everything settles down, what I'd like to do is have a small meditation center somewhere where I could help share the things I had to learn in prison that helped me survive with other people who are in, you know, hard times in life, and that maybe they'll find it useful and be able to put it to use. Something like that that's helpful but completely unrelated to the case at all.
You still live in the same area?
I live in Massachusetts now.
Ah, good. How long did it take you to move from Memphis? How many hours?
Get the hell out of
how many
there
hours did it take
plane?
For you to get out of West Memphis?
Oh, we left as soon as we left the courtroom. We took off. We stayed at a hotel over in Memphis that night. The very next morning, we were on a plane out of there.
I don't even think I could have stayed the night, Damien. I think I would have been going northeast, northwest. Get me somewhere away from here. All right. Well, Damien Echols. The book is called Life After Death. It's available now, correct? Hardcover and Kindle edition on Amazon. Looks like that's available. And,
yep, and
you
audio book, which I read myself.
All right, take care of yourself. And hey, man, I'm sorry again.
Thank you so much for having me today.
All right, that's a wrap. Thank you to our sponsors, Mitra 9. Go to mitra-9.com. That's mitra-9.com. Get yourself some Kratom Go Packs and Kratom Seltzers like we were enjoying here in the studio this morning. Use the promo code PROBLEMATIC to get yourself a significant discount. Thanks to Direct Computer Outlet Emission for making this possible, even if Snowcone did steal the computer. Please visit our website, laszlo.church. We would love to have you follow us on all of our socials and follow us on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/churchoflaszlo. See ya!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.